Good evening. This is Politically Incorrect with your host, Andrew Schechter. This week's Politically Incorrect podcast topic is evaluating the presidential candidates, brought to you by EternalAffairsMedia.com, also known as EA Truth Media. Your host tonight is myself, Andrew Schechter, author of Dark Water, Game Over, and two-time delegate for Donald Trump in the Republican National Convention. Please help us with a donation at donate.eamedia.online. Or by buying some bling at store.eamedia.online. Let's help keep the truth online. The upcoming elections, November the 3rd, the fate of our great nation is at stake. We pray that God will come out of the ashes of what's left of this election, bring forth the right choice for our nation, for our House and Senate, for our president. So in prayer, we ask you, dear Lord, to bring into the hearts and souls of all those voting the knowledge they need to make the right decision that will protect your great reign upon this world, and upon our great nation. We pray you will keep our voters safe as they go out to the polls. As dear Lord, most of your followers are not afraid of a virus. They're not afraid of maniacs with knives and guns and gas bombs. They're not afraid to defend you and our nation. Please protect them on election day and thereafter. See that our election is fair and that your word, your reign remains. We pray these things in your great, glorious name, O Lord. Amen. Folks, water is an essential to the human body. Today, we have many chemicals that are in our tap and bottled water that are causing many health-related challenges. It's crucial to make sure you're consuming clean, super antioxidant drinking water. We have a new sponsor that shares a water technology that not only helps with the inflammation of the body, but also produces the most hydrating water in the world. Please go and visit their link. Help support us as well. The description in about our new sponsors, Premium Water Technology. It's at darylwicker.com. So November 3rd is election day. It's been said from both sides that the future of our nation hinges upon the elections of 2020. And that's true for both sides. So it depends on what you believe in. Do you want the free world to reign? Do you want our Constitution to survive? Do you want our rights to remain? Or do you want to take over by the Communist Party, essentially, called the Democrats? You've got two choices. If that's what you want, go for it. If that's what God wants for this world, go for it. I don't think it is. But you've got to vote for your heart. You've got to vote for what you believe in. Now, God said, you know, it's been said in many times and in the Bible, it's been said in many of the scriptures that you're not guilty until you know you're guilty. So if you feel that, you know, Joe Biden is going to save the world, and you've not done your due diligence to realize that Joe Biden is a pawn in the big scheme of the deep state, God will forgive you. Unless you know for a fact that what you're saying is wrong. If you truly believe that that's a fact, God will forgive you. God forgives all who don't understand or know. Once you know that you're voting for something that's against God's will, for a party, for a candidate that's against God's will, now you're guilty. You're guilty of high treason in the eyes of the Lord. Choice is yours. So on election day, we need to figure out two things. One of them, which candidate is going to allow us to go back to church? Which candidate is going to allow God to remain in our society? Which candidate is going to be best for our economy as well? And which candidate will best give us, as citizens of the United States of America, the best chance of getting ahead, the best income for our families, and the best positive final outcome in general. Now, I want to say I was kind of hoping tonight we're going to have an interview with Brandon, of the founder of the That's the Point. I do want to promote him. It's got a great, very controversial, but really great podcasts and videos on YouTube. That's the Point is the what you look up if you want to search him. We just finished the interview, and it's going to be an offline, most likely an offline podcast. So you want to keep an eye on that, because that's going to be coming on before the election. It's going to be posted. And we discussed pretty much the same topic from a different point of view. So if you're an undecided voter, or you need to find talking points to convince others on election day that are coming that might be swinging one way or the other, definitely listen to that offline podcast. We'll be on before the weekend at some point. So some of the topics that he and I discussed, we're going to discuss tonight as well, but in a different light. What you need to do with in politics, whether it's the president of the United States or your local member of Congress, is to see not just what they've done in the past, whether they were politically affiliated in the past or not, but also what they're promising to do. And when you listen, you need to listen with an ear towards interpretation of what the candidate is saying. Joe Biden says a lot, and then he goes back and changes what he said. And Donald Trump sometimes does the same thing. But the meaning is always still there. You know, Joe Biden promised he's not going to impose any taxes. How many have heard? I promise, if you're making less than $400,000 a year, your taxes won't go up. He's also promised not to touch Social Security. So let's look at his track record. During his reign as vice president with Barack Obama from 2008 until 2016, wages were stagnant, which meant there was a loss of income because costs kept going up. Taxes went up, as did the Obamacare tax, particularly for those who didn't have insurance, couldn't afford to buy it. I'll tell you a story about that too. And this is one of the reasons I hate both Obama and Biden so much. You know, they put forth this Obamacare without thinking it through. Then they said, you've got to buy it. If you don't buy it, we're not going to give you anything. We're going to tax you. You know, that aggravated me. This was under Biden-Obama administration. We're going to tax you and give you absolutely nothing if you don't buy private insurance. Totally against the Constitution, totally against the law. Then they added to it, we're going to encourage people, and I don't know why they ever did this, we're going to encourage part-time employment. They wanted to encourage part-time employment because part-time employees could say we're poor, and then they could go out and get on the Obamacare at free or discounted rate. Now, my wife had great insurance. She's a cashier at a local supermarket. She loves her job. She had wonderful insurance before Barack Obama and Joe Biden implemented Obamacare. You know how they say 10 million people got on the insurance because of Obamacare? Let me tell you about that 10 million people. 10 million got on, but at least 12 million were lost. The 10 million that got on were the poorest of the poor. The 12 million that lost were the middle class. They lost their insurance, or the price went up and skyrocketed, or it became useless. Most insurance today is useless. My insurance at work, I like it just because it covers catastrophic loss. You know, the purpose of the insurance and the fact that this Obamacare was underwritten by insurance companies, that's who Barack Obama and Joe Biden got to do their write-up. It only provides anything to those insurance companies and to the hospitals and doctors. Basically, what it's saying is that if you end up in a hospital the hospital is not going to lose more than your deductible, which typically is $10,000 or more. Well, I'll be darned. You know, I've fought this too myself. And folks, if you get stuck with a hospital bill, tell them where to shove it. Tell them to talk to Barack Obama and Joe Biden. That's what I do. And you know what? I've never paid a hospital bill. I've been in a hospital twice for different things since the implementation of that failed plan. And I've told them where to stick it. I haven't been taken to court. I told them to prove it. I told them to prove their costs. I shouldn't have to do that. The insurance is worthless. You're basically paying out of pocket till you hit that $5,000 maximum out of pocket. That's what Joe Biden did. Donald Trump said, screw that. We're not going to have that illegal mandate. He's going to get rid of the rest of it too. You know, it's important to understand a few things. People say, oh, all the ones with pre-existing conditions are going to lose. Well, you know, I don't have a problem. I have a real problem with insurance companies. Now, here's the problem with insurance companies. Now, you got to look at both sides of this healthcare bit, especially when you're deciding who to vote on. You know, pre-existing conditions are important, but once you have pre-existing conditions, it's like once your car is in a wreck and they say it's totaled, now you can't get your car fixed anymore. But unfortunately, you can't replace your life. You can replace your car. See, insurance is based on people not using it. Insurance is based on insuring something that won't happen. Now, once it happens, you're uninsurable. That's why the insurance companies don't like when the government starts meddling in their insurance. So the plan's got to go, but it's got to be changed. I don't like to see people stuck. You know, you get sick once and now your insurance is no good and you can't get insured. So there's a fine line between what's insurable and what's not, and what's considered just healthcare. There's a difference between healthcare and health insurance. And the health insurance company should all go broke. They should find a way to replace it with some kind of a healthcare plan, whether it's a private or government run. Whatever suits it best. But you need to be able to go to the hospital or the doctor when you get sick. No, it's not a right. It's not it's a privilege that's given to people. But in all honesty, it's something that really matters, that if you get sick, that you have a way to get well again. And neither candidate proposes a solution to that. Democrats don't want universal health care, despite what they say, because of the fact that it doesn't help. It hurts the insurance industry because now there's no more insurance. They're saying, oh, the insurance companies can sponsor it or whatever. No, the money's not in. The money isn't taking care in taking money from healthy people. So don't believe either side with that. But that's what Barack Obama and Joe Biden did. They upped your rates. They took away your insurance from the middle class and gave it to illegal immigrants and the poor. Not that I have anything against the poor, but that's what they did. That's what the Democrats do. They rob from what they think is rich and they give to the poor. Believe me, I was poor. I've been poor. I've been in the food lines. I've been on welfare when I was younger. I have empathy. But maybe they should just up the rates, for giving out subsidies and whatnot, that have not kept up with inflation. These days, a family of four, if you're making less than $75,000 or $100,000, you're poor. But it's still called middle class because nobody's ever accounted for inflation. Look at the inflationary charts, 1,000% since 1970. That's a fact. But not everything goes up equally. You know, when the government takes into consideration how they're going to determine whether there's inflation or not, or whether or not there's how the prices are going up, they don't take into account things such as your fuel oil or your gasoline for your automobile or your electricity. No utilities are taken into consideration. Food isn't taken into consideration. It's luxuries and clothing and other garbage that determine whether or not we're having an inflationary trend, which is stupid. So what do these two candidates have? Well, Joe Biden wants to raise the taxes on the wealthy and raise the taxes on business. Now, there are a few things that make no sense to me. One of the things that makes no sense to me is that you have this, you know, this great, you know, Medicare, you know, plan, this health plan, that there's money taken out of your paychecks. You and my, your paycheck, my paycheck, but it's only taken out to about $120,000 some. And then they don't take it out anymore. Well, that's stupid. The more you make, the more you should pay. Your income tax goes up. Why are you not paying for the healthcare system the more you make? If all the people making more than $150,000 would pay the same amount for their, for the Medicare insurance, Medicare could go on for eternity. Wouldn't be a Ponzi scam. If the federal government would use that money for the plan, there wouldn't be any problem with it. Well, another great thing. Oh, they're going to take your Medicare away. They're going to take your Social Security. No, they're not. And Medicare, that's a joke in itself. Medicare is useless. And people don't even realize it. People, you know, the Republican Party and the conservatives complain that, oh, the we don't want universal health care. Yet 70% of Americans, mark that. You can look this up. If you add up the numbers, 70% of all Americans are on universal health care right now. That's right. You heard me right. Between forced Medicare, and it is forced, you have no choice but to take it, Medicaid, the VA, and other plans, 70% of Americans have universal health care. There's only a small percentage that don't. And a lot of the other percentage are partially subsidized for their health care. And Medicare is useless because you sign up for the what you've paid for all your life. And what do you get? You don't get insurance. You get to pay for your doctors, and your drugs and everything else until you hit certain deductibles that are huge. So unless you have a coronary or, you know, fall off a ladder, you're paying out of pocket. Unless you buy a subsidized, a subsidy, you know, program or a supplemental program to cover that. Now, folks, do your math. If you're in that, about that age group, or even if you're not, look at the figures. Look at the request of the Medicare book and then add up the cost of the supplemental plan. You could actually forego Medicare, just tell them to screw, and go out in a marketplace and buy your own insurance, and you wouldn't pay a dime more than you'd pay for supplemental insurance for Medicare. So what have you worked for all your life? What have you paid for all your life? A worthless Ponzi scheme, a governmental worthless subsidy. You could have been putting that money, socking that aside to pay for your own medical health, medical ailments. So what is the plan? Well, neither party has a plan. Donald Trump, I love Donald Trump. Everybody knows that, you know, he's my man. I know the guy, you know, I've known the guy personally, worked with him in the past. And I support him 100%. I've been his delegate twice to the convention, voted for our state for him. But he doesn't have a plan. What's his plan? Oh, there's a good plan. We're going to have a good plan. We're going to go to the courts and get rid of Obamacare, and we have a good plan. And no, your pre-existing conditions won't go away. You know, that's a very weak. You know, I wish he had had more before election, especially. You need to go more on that. I trust Donald Trump. I trust him implicitly. But if you're an undecided voter and you hear that, wouldn't you question that? Well, what's the plan? You're going to get rid of this and we're going to lose our insurance or subsidies. We're going to lose pre-existing condition coverage. Well, let's look at the other side. What's Joe Biden said? Joe Biden says we don't have to know his voters before the election. We don't have to know what he believes in. We don't have to know what his plans are. He said that. He said the voters don't have to know. That's his words. Well, how the hell can you vote for someone like that? How can you vote for someone that says you don't matter, you don't count, and you don't have to know? You got a choice. You can put your faith in someone that's actually done something right for the economy, or put someone that tells you, or vote for someone that says you don't have to know. Crazy election year, I'll tell you. You know, the economy is a big thing. What is the failure of the economy in the United States? Everybody blames Trump. Well, you know, they're blaming the prime minister in England. They're blaming their leaders in France and Germany, and they're all saying the same thing about them. Well, they've all done the same thing. What have they done? What is the key to all this? Why are people out of work? Why are there riots in the streets in all the Western world? And yet China's sitting back eating pate de foie gras and shark tail and enjoying the fruits of the land and having a successful economy. Their manufacturing, their economy in general is almost back to normal. You know why? You know, our governor, we have probably one of the worst governors in the United States of America, Tom Wolf. Tom Wolf, I hope you're listening to this podcast, because you are the absolute worst piece of garbage politician in the entire United States of America, in my opinion. And he says, oh, only essential businesses can be open. Only essential workers can go back to work. Our whole state's out of work. Yeah, I'm one of the few people working because and they didn't want me to work. They're so crazy that they almost shut us down, but we actually control a lot of their systems that they run, their information technology systems. And without us, the government can't run. Yet they were going to shut us down. Why? Because we're the service industry. We've become a service industry oriented country. Our entire economy is based on a service industry. What is the most non-essential industry in the entire planet? It's a service industry. Only certain services are actually required. You don't need a restaurant. Who needs a restaurant? Literally. Why do we need restaurants? Restaurants are a luxury. Every restaurant is a luxury. Go to the store, buy some food, and cook it up. You don't need a restaurant. It's a luxury. You can shut them down. And they've done that. They've proven that restaurants are a luxury. Cruises. Who needs to go on a cruise? Who needs to burn fuel? You realize how much a cruise ship burns in fuel? A cruise ship burns over 1,000 gallons of diesel fuel per hour. And some burn more. 1,000 gallons an hour. That pales in comparison to what a jetliner burns. You know how much food a cruise ship wastes? Over 50 tons of food per cruise. You can look this up. Thrown in the garbage. Not essential. You know what's essential, folks? Manufacturing is essential. Building the things that we need as a society to survive. Building the power transformers. Building the devices that make our internet work and make our communications work. That's important. That's essential. And what little manufacturing we have in the United States is considered essential industries. But guess what Biden's going to do? He's going to tax the wealthy. He's going to tax the businesses and chase them away from the United States of America. And put us back in that service industry again. What is Trump doing? Trump wants to tax the others. He wants to tax industry that goes overseas, that outsources, that offshores. He wants to tax products coming in from other nations. Yes, the prices might go up, but the industry will come back and the essential jobs will come back as well. So you need to choose. Do you want the industry or do you want the wealthy to make their money offshore and overseas? Because they're going to make it either way. See, companies, corporations, the corporations rule the entire world, not just America, but the entire world. We're a corporocracy, not a democracy. Corporations rule by the very nature of the dollar and the fact that dollars run elections. dollars run Facebook, social media. It's all about the dollar. So corporations run America. They're going to make their money either way. They need to decide, do you want a piece of that pie or not? You know, I've seen wages go up in my area alone in the last 3.5 years since Donald Trump was elected. We had jobs. Most of our manufacturing jobs were stuck since 2008, paying between $8 and $10, $11 an hour for production jobs, sweatshop production jobs. Going around the neighborhood, I look and I see signs up now. Production work up to $25 an hour. First shift, $20. Second shift, $23. Third shift, $25 an hour. That's what Donald Trump did. He brought back the importance of our manufacturing, our various, even our assembly lines, even the Amazon headquarters, the Amazon distribution centers. He brought back the economy. The fake pandemic we have, and believe me, the disease is real, but the pandemic was created. We'll go away eventually. People will have jobs again. But if we lose our manufacturing, we lose our ability to have those essential jobs and have them all offshored, there won't be any jobs to go back to. Choice you have to make. Now, I'd be remiss to go on to the religious aspect, this being a faith-based podcast. You know, I was looking at a show today on an unbiased network. Probably a lot of people know who that is. There's a couple out there. They're talking about what's going on in France. And, you know, this doesn't make the mainstream media. But they're going after, they're beheading and killing anyone who makes fun of the Muslims. You know, I never realized there were over 1.9 billion, and that is billion with a capital B, Muslims in the entire world. That's a pretty big elephant to be stomped on by. Look at our Congress. You know, I don't want to sound, I don't like Muslims. I don't want to, there's a lot of great people that don't understand what it is. You know, if you're in various organizations, you don't, you're the bottom line of the rung. You don't understand what the top of the rung is doing. But when you see school teachers being beheaded for showing someone in class something that's of public knowledge that the Muslims don't like, and the radicals come after you and kill you, you have a serious problem with that. I don't know if you do, but they're the ones that want to rule the world. We're starting to see them in Congress. You know, it was illegal in the 50s for a Muslim to be in the Congress. Then they said, oh, you can't do that. The philosophy of the radical Islamic movement is incompatible with American ideology and our Constitution. And that's a problem. You know, it's funny because I have some Jewish background, and some of my family was Jewish. And I never realized certain things, like, for instance, the Jews believe that a baby isn't viable. It's not a human. It's just a lump of flesh belonging to the female until it comes out of the womb and takes its first breath given by God. Now, let's think about this. The liberals believe in science, yet they don't believe in the science of biology. The biologists, the botanists who talk about plants, scientists all agree that life begins at conception. You know, and in the Bible, where it says that God breathed life into Eve and Adam, That doesn't mean the physical breath. That means the ether, the breath, the actual, non-physical ether of life at creation. He never says he takes his nostrils and blows into them. It's that ether, that physical ether. So think about it. The Jews believe that you can kill a baby until it takes its first breath. Are Satanists allowed to kill babies because they believe in that? You know, are Muslims allowed to kill gays because they don't believe in it? And they do overseas. They want to do it here too. So there has to be limitations to society. Under Biden, pretty much anything will go. Biden will allow anything. Biden says you can do what you want. God bless you. You're all equal. You can do whatever you feel like. Trump says, hey, whoa, we got God out there. We got some rules we got to play by. Those rules say you don't kill people. You don't kill your unborn babies. Because they're God's gift. Think about it. Would you and I be talking today if I was aborted? Would you be listening today if you were aborted? Would your life even be here? And the Democrats insist that, it's a woman's right to abort a baby. And Biden believes 100% in that it's a woman's right. And his running mate is even worse about it. I guess a good point is that most of the conservatives and the Republicans believe that it's not right, which means that they're going to lose all their voters because all the Democrats are going to lose their children that they're killing. So maybe it's a good thing from that perspective, but from God's perspective, it sure isn't. That's Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Donald Trump respects God. Donald Trump will keep the Constitution, will allow us our First and Second Amendment rights. And while I should have probably closed on the topic of religion, I'm going to close on the Second Amendment. And the words of Kamala Harris, where they're going to just literally take your guns away. Why do they say you're going to take your guns away? Well, you have to be more specific. They're going to take away your right to own certain firearms, certain weapons, rather than use the law to imprison or take care of those who are mentally ill, imprison those who commit crimes. They want to imprison those who don't commit crimes for owning a weapon, whether they use it or not. Against the Constitution. That's Joe Biden and his running mate. Make no mistake. And the New Green Deal, he won't admit that they're for that. New Green Deal. Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna be a little bit of a centrist here and say that we have a problem. We need to, God says you need to respect your environment. You need to respect what God gave you and not abuse it. And we really abuse it. And now that the Chinese are involved and others they want the same thing that the West has, and I don't blame them. We're abusing our resources. We are taking things that God gave us and destroying his very creation with them. So whether you believe in man-made climate change or not, you got to give it some thought that we are putting stuff in the air and chewing up the ground and destroying what we were given. And there are plenty of resources out there that we could utilize. But it's a slow burn. We can't do this as fast as these Democrats want. We need to plan this out, because you can't just destroy the country, which is what they did with this fake plague. You can't just go and destroy an entire economy because you feel like it, because you think this is right or that's right. You know what? Going green might be the worst thing we ever did. maybe all that carbon dioxide in the air is being synced and sequestered where it should be right now. Maybe taking that away is going to suddenly change things and put us in the next ice age. There's no scientific proof that it won't. There's no scientific proof that it will, because no one's done the science. They're doing the politics instead of the science. And politics, folks, doesn't work. So when you go to the polls, if you haven't voted by mail, that's another joke. Think about who you're voting for. Now, the liberals and Joe Biden and Harris, Nancy Pelosi, Schumer, they want mail-in ballots because they want to cheat. But the other problem is, now, how do you cheat with mail-in ballots? Well, you know what? There's so many ways to cheat. I could tell you 1,000 ways, and I'm not going to give it away because somebody's going to actually use those techniques. But if I wanted to, I could vote 40 times. I won't do that because, you know, unlike the Democrats, I've got a higher authority, and that's to answer to. And I think that's why the conservatives and the religious are always the losers. They're on the bottom rung. You know, God will take care of us eventually. But the problem is, how can we cheat? How can we go out and put in 40 ballots knowing that they're fake? Maybe we'll even get caught, but who knows? Then how can we look up at God and say, God, I love you. God, I'm not a cheater. I couldn't do it. I don't know about anyone else, but I sure as heck couldn't do that. Democrats, obviously, they have no God, so they don't really care. Now, you can't support someone like Joe Biden and Harris and also support God. They don't go together. It's like acid and water. Now, there are plenty of Democrats out there that do believe in God and do respect, you know, the words of the great book. But the Democratic Party won't let them run. They've proven that in the past. And even the Republican Party sometimes doesn't, because they want to maintain their reign over the deep state. They're ruled by the corporations. But right now, the safe haven is Donald Trump. Safe haven is a red Congress. Whether you like the candidates or not, folks, your Congress, your Senate, and your House are the most critical key, because if we lose, the conservatives lose the Senate, you might as well have elected Joe Biden and Harris. So please think about that when you're at the polls. So there will be a topic next week. We have the elections coming up. If there's still a world left, if society still exists and the internet hasn't been shut down by the feds, we'll have another podcast next Thursday, Politically Incorrect. And you know what? That topic is going to depend on the outcome of the election and the results. The big thing was on the offline podcast that's going to be going online was what happens after the election. It's kind of a pre-prediction, and a lot's going to depend on a few things. Number one, it's going to depend on who wins for president. And by the way, just an interesting factoid. You know, there was a huge rally in Tucson over the weekend on the 25th. They had 96 miles of cars with Trump signs and flags and, you know, support the police. 96 miles. And they say Trump won't win. Unbelievable. I find it hard to believe that there's any chance he wouldn't win. Yet, you know, if they cheat, they can win. So the big thing on election day is what happens after the fact. There's a number of outcomes that could possibly happen. The first could be that it's neck and neck and there's outstanding mail-in ballots. Most mail-in ballots are Democrat. So most likely Trump will lose. But either way, the Democrats are, and the liberals are going to go out and burn down the cities. They're going to take over the White House, do whatever they have to do to throw Trump out. And their goal is to have him out before his term is even up in January. Or Biden might win by a landslide. What will Trump do? What will Trump do? And then more than important, what will the Trump supporters and a good old gun-toting conservatives do at that point? I don't know. The worst would be if Biden loses by a landslide and the liberals come out and Antifa start burning down the cities. But the absolute worst scenario would be if Trump wins by a good landslide and Red loses the Congress. Because if the conservatives lose and don't have a majority, as soon as Trump gets elected, even before he's put in office, they're going to start impeachment proceedings. And they'll win because they'll have the Senate. That's the absolute worst scenario. Because now you've made an embarrassment out of a fine president who's done a great job, committed his life to helping the country, giving up his salary. They're going to make a mockery of him and throw him out in shame. So normally we don't have a closing prayer in this podcast. But Lord, Lord, save all of us. Save our souls in the worst scenario. Save our cities. Save our people. Lord, protect us. Protect those who believe. Show your light to those who do not believe. Please see that our nation survives. See that there's a positive outcome on Election Day, that people respect the rules, that people respect the Constitution, and see the light, see the path to a great nation. Protect those again who vote, who are waiting in lines. Do not let them be intimidated. Stand tall and proud amongst those you rule. God bless everyone. God bless my listeners. And yeah, thanks again for listening to this podcast. Everybody, stay safe. Stay safe through this election. And have a great evening. We'll see you next week. Hopefully, God willing, and the creek don't rise, as the rednecks out here say.